Randy for 30 seconds. This is evidence of just how bad the Lakers are doing. Isn't that right?
It's evidence.
Because he came into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It is so good to see our young brother. So I just want you guys to just to love on him today. And I thank you all for being here. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you, dear Jesus, that you give us so many reasons to praise, so many reasons to worship, dear Lord. You are God all by yourself, dear Jesus. You just shine on us, dear Lord. You give us favor, dear Lord, when we are so undeserving, dear Jesus. You minister to our hearts. You heal us, dear Lord. You heal the land, dear Jesus, just by your voice, dear Lord, by your presence, dear Jesus, by your anointing, dear Lord, we can call upon you, and we thank you, Lord. We pray over the pastor this morning, dear Jesus, as he brings the word directly off the press, an on-fire word from your Holy Spirit, dear Lord, that will light this place on fire, dear Jesus, that continues to allow our oils to be burned and ignited within us, dear Jesus, that we can be encouraged, dear Lord, to do your will, dear Lord, to walk in obedience, dear Jesus, to know that you're so much greater than just one event, dear Lord, that you are the greatest thing that ever stood, dear Jesus, that you stand for so much, dear Lord. Help us to recognize who you truly are for each and every one of us on this day. We bless you, dear Lord. We praise your holy name, dear Lord. We bow with attentive hearts, dear Jesus, to receive you on this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. It's good to see you. Good to see everybody.
Yes.
I'm going to get... Okay.
Don't forget your mic,
Kathy. Don't forget my microphone. And my glasses.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Pastor, can you pray for the children?
Yes. Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray for all the children here today, Father God, in Jesus' name. We pray that their class be beneficial, that they learn much about Jesus Christ, Father God, and that they enjoy themselves in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Pastor, we have a new update.
What's the update?
We're now live on Facebook.
We are?
Right now.
Wow. How did that happen?
Facebook, YouTube, Venmo, Instagram, back.
About Rumble?
We download to Rumble.
Okay, all right. Wow.
Amen. Pastor
Sandy is waiting. Jalen, is my mother's, is my wife yelling at you? She's not yelling at you? All right. I'm making sure. Hallelujah. Well, it's great to see everybody. I am going to just kind of stick with what the Lord gave me for today. Welcome back, family. How you guys doing? All right. So, Sensational is back. You guys, thank you. I was praying, girl, like, send my people home. Zoe. Okay, now listen, you guys. The Lord is like, welcome to like the days of Noah. Okay, because a lot of us think that nobody believed in God in Noah's time, except for the eight people that were on the boat. But God was trying to express to me, there were a lot of people who were religious. They believed in a God. They just weren't in a relationship or obedience to the God that created them, okay? And the Lord has let me know that in this time, in this day, there is no urgency amongst believers and amongst the world. Yeah. And there, in God's people, there needs to be an awareness And we need to understand the urgency of the day that we live in. I have no idea. No, I was looking for Paris.
Paris?
Yeah. Oh, he was there. Okay. So, if you've never been through anything with God, I mean, if you've never been through any life experience that made you go, Jesus, help me, then it's hard for you to really understand a personal relationship with God because you haven't been dealt with on a personal level before. But sometimes when you have to cry out to God and he answers you, it becomes a little bit more of a close bond, okay? I have experience with God. Most of us have been in Christ long enough where we've needed him and we have experience with him. Like Israel tell me, he knows nothing about the struggle, right? He's like, I did not grow up in South Central LA. I know nothing about no food in the house. You know, but some people have been through some things, and so you had to personally wait on God to see what he was going to do. And when he did more than you asked, right? Jacqueline knows. So I want you to know the door is like there was no urgency then. And amongst the world and some people who are believers, there's no urgency now. Welcome to the days of Noah.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking for a different mentality, a different vibe, a different, you know, what I'm seeing is the same kind of foolishness that goes on in the body of Christ. I mean, people arguing about the same silly things and not about, you know, walking in line with Christ. I'm thankful for my friend Daniel Hood, who has the experience of dying and going into hell and then coming back to be able to tell us that it's a real place. I don't think most Christians really truly believe in hell. Because if you really, like, I think everybody should get a day there. You know what I mean? You're like, like, she said, I don't think so. I always thought like this. You know, if we have a day in heaven and a day in hell, she said no for that one. But it would give you perspective on what you're fighting for. You understand?
Amen.
So what we do have is the Word of God and Jesus giving us an example of what's there, torment. What the rich man say, I'm tormented in these flames. And we have the Word of God saying, it's far beyond your imagination, the joy and peace that is there, right? So I can take God for his word. I don't actually have to visit. But for some people, they only can learn by experience, right? And I don't want to be, I learn from dumb people, like, if you do something dumb, I learn from you. I say thank you for you going through that. I watched that and that was crazy, but I know not to do that, right? So let God be real to you. Don't let this be real. There's a lot of religions in the world, but none of them are real. You understand? There's only one God. There's only one way of salvation. And so let this be real to you. The Lord was like, I gave you something to tell people, oh, the Lord told me, like, I'm not going to celebrate my birthday here. Well, okay. And I said, should I tell him or shouldn't I? I did, okay? And when I did, and October 25th came and it caused someone else, I'm not talking about the people that got saved because of the urgency that they thought the rapture was about to happen, and that's a beautiful thing, but it caused someone else to go in and say, let me look at Pastor Sandy's birthday in Hebrew and see when his Hebrew, when on the Hebrew calendar, what's his birthday? Considering the fact of this, God does not honor a Gregorian calendar. And if you think God honors a Gregorian calendar, you are way. God has never said Happy New Year to anybody on January 1st. Because January is Janus, a bisexual, two-headed goddess that they pray to. Okay? And all of these months are named after God. So God wanted me, so out of this, God wanted me to know when I was born on his calendar. And it just happens to be the exact same day that the flood happened, on the 17th of Heshvan. That made me go, okay, this is strange. Because you tell me it will be as it was in the days of Noah, and I'm the one preaching this end time thing, and then now you wait till this moment in this time in this year to tell me, oh, by the way, you were born the same day the flood happened. So it set an urgency in me that, okay, the people of God by that alone should say, you know what, we need to be ready. Considering everything that's going on around us, plus the Lord is my calling is to prepare my people to leave.
Yes.
Okay, I'm not looking for a revival. I'm not looking for expanding the building and getting a balcony. That's not what I'm looking for. Prepare my people to leave. We should be living for God with all our heart, forgiving others, not living with anger and revengefulness and all this stuff that makes you think you're ready, but God is looking at your heart. You understand? And so God wants you to be ready by what? Having a garment not stained, okay? No wrinkles, no blemishes. I've done this study before, but all the wrinkles and blemishes have to do with hidden stuff. Wrinkles and blemishes are not stuff that other people can see. All the wrinkles and blemishes are, I love Jesus, but I hate my mother-in-law. That's a wrinkle. See, you think you're going to heaven, and God is like, if you don't forgive her, I can't forgive you. So he's looking for people who are dealing with themselves. Examine yourself. The Bible tells us that, right? Yeah. Examine yourself, whether you are really in the faith or not. Because if you love Jesus and you hate this person, something might be wrong. You understand? And I'm not saying you got to forgive people and go and say, you know, hang out with them again. Nah, if they bad people, just say, I forgive them, Father, in Jesus' name, but I'm not going near them.
Right.
Have some Jesus sense, too. You know what I mean? After the Judas thing, Jesus was like, hey, let's go hang out with Judas some more. No, I'm staying away from Judas. He's no good, right? Have sense, but understand the interior things that are in you, God is always trying to deal with. You understand? Because what he's trying to clean up is not your outside appearance. It's what he knows is inside you.
Yes.
He knows the heart of man. He knows everything inside of you.
Amen.
Today's message is called Falling Out of Deception. And deception is very easy. The Bible says even our own hearts are untrustworthy. Your own heart will lie to you, you know, because your flesh will tell your heart what to say. And then you will believe it. So you got to be careful. That's why the Bible says examine yourself. Stay in your word. See, when you're always in your word, it puts a picture in a mirror. And then you're looking at Christ and you're looking at his word. And then you're examining yourself by this. And therefore, you can stay in course. God is always examining us to make sure that we're ready. Okay? Now, and he's more merciful than all of us. So don't get into the like, oh, Pastor Stanley said, if you're not 100% ready. No. Examining yourself means that you're in a constant relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
It means that I don't let things go by. I don't let things exist inside of my body, exist inside of my mind without checking them with the Holy Spirit. That's being in relationship, okay?
Yeah.
Now, The Lord wanted me to explain this, so I wrote it down every day. Why do we do what we do? The offering in the beginning, the Lord wanted me to explain. We do that because we don't want to be like other churches that use offering time to manipulate and beg people and have a telethon right here in church. You understand? So we do that, and we try to do it as fast as possible, because that's not the most important thing, okay? And it's not a show, okay, to be manipulated. Your giving is what you decided between you and God, and that ain't none of my business. People call me and say, Pastor, I just want to, I say, call Pastor Ben, call Pastor Ben's wife, call them. They know all about that. She is anointed accountant. And I don't mean like the Holy Spirit's over. She has a master's, okay? So they know what they're doing with that. They're smarter than me. Pastor Ben handles it better than me. I used to call myself what, sucker pastor? Because all you have to do is look at me sad and I just start giving you stuff, right? So, and the Lord knows you can't give Pastor Sandy much because he'll give it all away. And the church is closing because we didn't have a rent, but we fed all the poor people. We fed the whole homeless community, but the church is closed. That would be me. So that's what I'm saying. That's why God didn't put me in charge of that. He like Pastor Sandy ain't going, he won't do the right thing, right? Or he'll do it fast out of his emotions. Okay. Why do we pray before service? Because there is a such thing as action in the spirit realm, and action in the spirit realm only comes through prayer. You understand? When you hear me teaching, you're trying to absorb information in your spirit and to be encouraged to live with. A lot of things people have to go back and hear, listen a couple of times to hear what I spoke about, right? So I know that speaking the word of God, but he said, my house shall be a house of prayer. You know why? Prayer moves things, okay? So, and me and Pastor Ben made a decision a long time ago. Prayer is more important than the word of God. If you got to pray for 2 hours and I preach for 10 minutes, let it be done. Because we need action going on. We need things being moved, right? So that's why we do it the way we do, okay? I want us to go to Mark chapter 10, verse 35. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. Are you there? Yeah. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us what we ask. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus said. He said, they replied, let one of us sit on your right hand and the other on your left in glory. Jesus says, you don't know what you are asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, see, they asked for it, so you might want to find out how both of them died, okay? You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. Saying, you're going to go through what I'm going through then. Fine, since you want that. And he says, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not for me to grant. And he's not saying, oh, I'm only Jesus, the Father does that. What he's saying is this. These places belong to those whom it has been prepared. So he said, I can't grant that to you. It's already been prepared for someone, okay? That's not my position. Then he says, when the 10 heard this, they became angry or indigent with James and John. You called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers among the Gentiles lord it over them, okay? And their high officials exercise authority over them. So he's trying to explain to him something. They're with him because of their belief in God. But he wants them to know that there's a group of people that because they're your religious leaders, they lord over you and they rule over you and try to control your lives. You understand?
Yeah.
And he says, these are the type of people you don't want to follow. You don't want to follow people who are trying to control your life.
Amen.
What you doing in here with pants on? Why you, someone told me, Pastor, you know it's a sin to wear jewelry. They don't let us wear jewelry in our church. I said, you might be a part of a cult. Because
right.
I'm going to send you some
right.
scripture that jewelry is being given to people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I'm like, I said, even when the prodigal son came back, his father put a ring on his hand.
Yep.
So I'm like, so he said, oh, it's the demons of the in the water or something. And I was like, that isn't a mystical occult thing, you know, mermaids and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, but he's in a cult. He's in a place that tells him if you wear this, you can't be saved, right? And so some churches use things to lord over people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you how much you have to give. And I'm going to tell you, no, you're in this relationship and I am here as an assistant shepherd. You understand? I don't have any sheep.
No.
A matter of fact, I'm a sheep myself.
Hello.
Did we have a shepherd? His name is Jesus.
Yes.
So I am an assistant at best. Okay? So that means I've got to watch how I treat God's people,
yes.
right? And so I can't lord over you. I can't manipulate you. I can't do things like this.
Yes.
And God is saying, this is what you got to stay away from. I'm doing this for a reason, you guys. Just stick with me. And he says, not so with you. Instead, whosoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. You hear that? So if I want to be a great pastor, I got to be a good servant. Whosoever wants to be first must be slave of all. You hear that? For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve,
yes.
to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus came here to be a what? A servant. Show me the scripture that Jesus sat down and said, could you get some of you guys over here to wash my feet? Or did he wash their feet?
He washed.
Okay. And he fed them. You understand? And he died for us. You understand? So Jesus is a servant. This is the rotation of life. If a man wants a bride, he has to become a servant to her.
Yeah.
If a woman wants children, she's going to become a servant to those children.
Because
right. you can't be a mother and at the nightclub at the same time. Somebody's not getting served. You know what I mean? Your time in the nightclub was before you had children.
Yep.
So, I mean, you got to become a servant. You become a servant to your children because you want the best for them. I'm a husband. I want a wife. I want the best for you. I got to become a servant to you. You understand? And this is the cycle that continues. Once one of those kids grow up, the young man wants to be a husband. Say, teach him. You got to learn how to be a servant because the cycle of servanthood to be great continues.
Yeah. Amen.
So I want you guys to know and understand that a pastor or a minister has to be a servant, okay? And you can't look for titles. Don't be asking, can I sit on the left and right? Every time somebody become a pastor, then they got to add bishop,
doctor,
apostle, all this stuff. You don't have to do that. Just say I'm an assistant pastor for Jesus. I'm an assistant shepherd, okay? All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 7. As we get into this even more. When you get to Matthew chapter 7, say amen if you haven't yet. And I am now here, and I'm going to be in verse 13. And it says here, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Okay? But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Can we say a few find it?
A few find it.
Listen, this is the urgency that the Lord placed on my heart this morning. You think when you read that I was kidding. That it's going to be, you're going to get there and you're going to be like, wow, look at all of these people. But God says there's very few that find this, because a lot of people want to walk the path to heaven on a wide road. Okay? It's very hard to get to heaven on a wide road because the path there is very narrow. Even the Apocrypha says it's so narrow that only one person can walk on it at a time. And on this side is fire, and on the other side is a deep pit and water, right? So it's like you have to stay on the narrow road, or the things that are around you are going to catch you and fall off. So you have to stay on a narrow road, okay? Because the consequences of not being on the narrow road, as stated in the Apocrypha, is that you're going to fall off into fire, or you're going to fall off and drown, okay? So the what he's trying to say is that there is dangerous to try to walk a wide road. So you can't be a lukewarm Christian. Please listen to me. You can't be, I'm a Christian when I'm at church, and I'm a completely different person when I'm at home. You confuse your children.
Amen.
Because they think that you're the person that's at church. And then you get home and you become a different person. And it makes them believe that Christianity is weird.
Yeah.
They're so nice when they get to church. Ooh, taking curse of a storm when they get home, right? Ooh. Hey, tell the truth. That was me in the beginning. That was, you know, as I grew up, it was the thing that church did not represent home. But home is where the Holy Spirit is living. Home is where he's trying to iron out wrinkles, blemishes, and spots. He's trying to wash up things.
Yeah.
Because conduct here is not, you get no grade for conduct here. Anybody can sit here and be quiet and be nice and say, yes, sir, pastor, God bless you. You can do that. Okay? But at home, oh, sometimes me and Drea, we are almost getting an argument. You know what almost means? I'm either shutting my mouth or she's shutting hers, or we're both shutting them at the same time. Because you know what? We see the plot of the enemy, not in this house. We got peace in this house. Jesus lives in this house. So at home, we have to operate the Spirit of God in our home. You understand? Now, let's continue. It says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. You hear that?
Yeah.
So they come as Christians. Now, I want to ask anybody or everyone this. Did you see Kanye West's latest Sunday service? Marilyn Manson, Kanye West, some rapper named that does all kind of crazy profanity, and they're all standing up here praying while all the women are still there with the little thing, the long hair and dressed in white. They're basically, it's a satanic service. Listen to me. They were having a service. I thought that other Christians would be appalled and say, why is Marilyn Manson and Justin Bieber, Marilyn Manson, Kanye West, and some profanity rapper, he's part of it, he was there, but I'm just saying, look, why are Christians saying, look at what a beautiful thing God is doing? As if God made us unintelligent. Now, they said the album's out and Kanye did a wonderful job on it. There's only very little profanity.
Wow.
Now imagine me saying, I'm going to do a gospel album. Pastor said he got a gospel album. And I'm going to only use very little profanity because I want to honor God. Really? You'd be like, you done lost your mind. I'm up out of here. But we have Christians that are defending this because we think the way to heaven is wide. And we're not looking for ourselves, okay? You have to be able to know who is in Christ, what game is being played on you. Who knows what three-card Molly is? See?
Oh, yeah.
See, if you grew up in the hood, you know what three-card Molly is. Because, see, huh? You don't know what three-card Molly is? All right. You at the park, a guy got three cards. He got two black ones and one red one. Your job is to, as I shuffle them, tell me where the red card is.
Right.
Like a shuffle. Okay, tell me where the red card is. So I shuffle them, and you're watching. Okay, here's the red one. I set it down. I'm shuffling. And you go, that's the red one. And you get it right. You go, oh, my goodness. So they'll get a friend of theirs to be right like five times straight and win all this guy's money. But he's part of the game. He leaves with this guy's money and he says, well, who's next? And up come the Christian. And I'm saying that because we just saw a game being played on us, but we're not analyzing, okay? Because the Bible says for us to analyze what's going on, whether this person is a Christian or not, by what they do, okay? Now you playing, and you can't find the red card because he already knows how to trick you, and you lose all your money because you thought it was an easy game, but you don't know the guy that was winning is his best friend. They came back and split your money.
Right.
You understand? This is what's going on in the Christian community right now. Some guy there, who knows who Michael Todd is? My brother was telling me, oh, this preacher named Michael Todd. I said, Greg, well, look him up and see who he's associated with. Oh, him and Kanye West are best friends. He preached for Kanye. He preached for Kanye at the forum. And him and Kanye are best friends. I went, there you go.
Yep.
Watch this. Now you, I play for the Lakers. I can dribble the ball and hit three-point shots whenever I feel like. Is it true?
No.
So you can say anything you want. Because I quote some scriptures and say I'm a Christian and say I'm this, it doesn't mean I am.
That's right.
What are you going to do to find out whether I lied or not? Well, today you can Google me.
Right.
But in the other times, you can go to a game and say, I didn't see you, Pastor Sandy. You're on the court. You had a jersey on, but you were in the stands. And it was Kobe's jersey. Where'd you buy it? Right? So you would know I'm lying to you. Now, if your life was dependent upon it, you would say, now, if you believe that I play for the Lakers, you're going to heaven. But if I tricked you, you're going to hell. You would investigate.
Yeah, you would.
But yet, I can be a pastor. That John Gray, this other guy who went to the raise money for the homosexual community, Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes. Oh, don't say names. Listen, God said expose what is evil. You understand?
Right.
He didn't say help them to keep it secret.
Right.
He said to expose it. And so I'm trying to tell you, like I have before, God gave me a message and told me, This guy is not my servant. Kanye West is not my servant. He is Satan's service. He is on tour for Satan. He does not work for me. His singers do not sing for me. His dancers do not dance for me. I don't know them. They auditioned and they got a part in his play and his tour. Yeah. He is not from me.
Amen.
He works for Satan.
Amen.
And still I got, well, why are you making a big deal? Isn't it wonderful that he got saved? Yeah, it's wonderful he got saved. It's wonderful he made an album with almost no profanity. So you go ahead and you follow him. But I'm not going to follow him till I see a true repentance. And then you can't be saved on Sunday at Joel Osteen Church and then do a concert with Travis Scott the next day and be cursing. You understand? All you got to do is follow him and you'll say, you ain't no Laker. So the Bible says we need to be smarter, okay?
Amen.
We don't just follow anybody. We stay in our word and we're following. Now let's continue reading this. Lord, that took longer than I thought, but thank you. Okay. It says, their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every green tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So it doesn't matter if they're acting, the end of them is still fire.
Yeah.
Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is a Christian. That's not how the scripture reads, but I'm just saying that. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And the word I never knew you is gnosko, which means we have never been in a relationship. It don't mean God didn't know who they were. It means we have never been in an intimate relationship. So therefore, I don't know you. It's the same word that Mary said. She said, he says, how can I have a child being that I have not gnosko a man? I have never even been in an intimate relationship with a man. So he said, how can I have a child? And he's saying here, you've never been in an intimate relationship with me. How do we know we're intimate? Because we're growing together. Because when you don't like something, you tell me and we work it out and we get it straight. Because when you do something that offends me, you come back and you apologize. These are the things how you know you're in a relationship or a friendship.
Right.
Or when you want to, you're joyful about something, you bring it to me and give me praise. You know you're in a relationship by the things that you're doing in the relationship that causes intimacy. You understand? It's very intimate for me to be broke one day and not have any gas to get to work. But getting there on fumes, not knowing I ain't gonna make it home, and somebody hiring me during the middle of the day to do a little job for them and paid me $50. That was me crying out to God.
Yeah.
Some intimacy was built there.
Because
I cried out and he answered. We have an intimate relationship. When I do things bad, I go to God, I repent. You know why I repent? Because we're in relationship.
Yeah.
Who are you? Who am I to slap God and walk away and act like nothing happened?
Right.
And then you're just walking by, you're like, still hurts. And you just walking by, still hurts. You just walking by. And you go, yeah, I'm a Christian. And God is like, we're not in a relationship right now. It's been severed. The sin that you been involved in has severed our relationship.
Yeah.
You haven't repented. nor have you tried to get out of the sin. So I'm going to give you the appropriate amount of grace time to come to me and repent so that I can help you through this to be delivered from it. If you guys want to know the truth, this is Christianity.
Yes.
It's not church or singing. It is reading your Bible. It is going to church and making sure that you're fellowshipping with other people that believe by you, with you. So a relationship with Christ is your active, intimate activities with God.
Yes.
I wrote you a letter just to tell you I love you. Did you read it? No, I didn't have time. I was doing something. Maybe we're not in relationship. I wrote a whole Bible for you. Well, Lord, you know, I mean, you don't have time. You're showing God. You know what I mean? This is how much you mean to me. Imagine 3 years. Hey, you know, you want to go out and have dinner with me? Nah. We haven't spent any time all week. You want to do something? No. It's a lack of intimacy because, see, to do that, even if I'm busy, I got to cut out some time. You know why? Because I want to be in relationship. Do you want to be in relationship? Time out. Just cut out a little time to let people know I care about you. Okay?
Amen.
All right.
All right.
Pastor. I'm moving on. I'm the pastor in the day. Sorry, you guys.
Amen. 15 minutes.
Now, the message today was going to be called disobedience can cause the death of many. Okay? And Drea showed me a video this morning of a lady on the bus. When Drea showed it to me, you know, I like it in fact. I want to find out who the woman was. Why was she screaming Jesus on the plane? Okay? So this woman is, she gets up on the plane. She gets in the plane. She's sitting there. The plane's about to take off. But she jumps up and she starts going, Jesus, Jesus, no, Jesus. And so now they can't take off the plane because this lady's going crazy on the plane. Jesus, Jesus. They're trying to subdue her, hold her, pull her back. But the Lord had showed her that this plane's about to crash. So about 2 hours later, finally they get her off the plane. 2 hours later, the plane's about to take off, but on the runway, it catches fire and bursts into flame, and all the people have to slide down the thing to get out. And now she could have sat in her seat and said, well, I don't want to look ridiculous. You know, if I jump up and start screaming Jesus, the plane is in trouble. You know, people think I'm crazy. And I want to be a cool Christian. So I'm just going to sit here. See, your disobedience can cause somebody's death.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
All those people sliding down that thing was now thinking about the crazy Jesus woman.
Right.
And the Lord said, this is a situation you're in. This is why you have to do what I told you to do. I'm telling you guys, be prepared for the rapture.
Yes.
By doing what? Being in an intimate relationship with God.
Yes.
And I'm shouting it. And sometimes I'll say, well, this and this and this and this looks like, and then it don't happen. And then guess who comes? The mockers. And then I get the mockers, and then people say, well, you know, Pastor Sandy don't really hear from God because he's been preaching the rapture, and the rapture hasn't happened. Just like they did in Noah's day. He's been talking about this boat and this water coming out the sky for years.
Yep.
Don't worry about him. He's crazy.
Right, right.
Until it started raining. And then it's like, hey, Noah, let us in the boat. So somebody's got to look crazy to save some people.
Yeah.
So, ta-da. Somebody's got to look crazy to save some people sometime. And it doesn't matter to God that you don't look sophisticated and got your stuff together. Sometimes Jesus praying for people. I'm like, ooh, she going in. I'd be like, wow. Sometimes Pastor Ben used to pray so hard for people. He'd be yelling. And one time I was in the back. And I walked in, it was so loud, and then he's yelling, and I'm like, what? I'm thinking to myself, like, why is he praying so loud, God? And the Lord said to me, what did he say to me, Pastor Ben? No. He said, the Lord didn't say anything. As soon as I said that in my brain, Pastor Ben said, I yell and I speak the way I do to get these demons out of here. And I'm like, did he hear what I thought? And the Lord said, you leave him alone. You let him do his job and you do your job. I went to Pastor Ben and told him, I said, anytime you want to pray a little longer, it's just fine with me. Because I was scared of him by that time. Like, I was like, you know, I've seen him do it with other people, you know, but now he did it right in front of me. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy is from God. But I'm saying, look, sometimes it takes a little bit. It's like even Jesus offered a prayer, said with loud. He offered up praise with screamings and louds and a loud voice. If people would have heard how Jesus was praying sometimes, they would have been like, oh, he's just a crazy man.
Yeah.
But it's not about us looking cool. It's about us being obedient. Yeah. You understand?
Yeah. Amen, Pastor.
So the Lord wanted me to let you go to this scripture here. Let's go, first of all, to Thessalonians chapter 4. Oh, in the last days, mockers will come. If a mocker can get you to stop to be disobedient to God, you are a weak person.
Yep. Amen.
Your pastor said rapture was happening and he didn't. You gonna still go to church there? I sure am. Yep. And I'm gonna live in obedience.
Yep.
And I'm you know, either you're in it or you're not in it. But don't say you're in it and then as soon as you get hit, you want out of the game.
Right.
Ooh, I play football. I've seen it happen. People get hit and they're like, I'm done. What, you people are crazy out here, right? Because if you're not really tough enough to be out there, you shouldn't have went out there. You understand? And with this rapture thing, I'm telling you right now, I'm not a crazy pastor.
That's right.
I don't have any filth hanging around. I'm not trying to use you for anything, okay? If you call me and you need me, you'll find Pastor Sandy will be there and you'll be like, dang, he came. Because I love you. You don't know it yet because you haven't had to call on me.
Right.
But I love you and I'm not here to manipulate you. I'm here to make sure that you're living a life for Christ in relationship so you're ready to go. That's it. That's what I want from you. That's all I want from you, okay? Now, if the rapture don't happen and you consider me to be a bad person, that's on you.
Right.
Go find another pastor because I'm going to be obedient to this.
Yes.
Because it takes a little craziness to save a lot of people sometimes.
Yes.
I watched that video with that woman this morning and I was like, woof, I was security. I would have had to take her out too. She was acting crazy. But look at all the people she saved.
Yeah.
Okay. Now watch this. You're in Thessalonians chapter 4? Okay. Now watch this. Verse 13. This is what it says. Brethren, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Now, what is the first thing he says? I don't want you to be ignorant. God doesn't want you to be ignorant about the rapture. What does ignorant mean?
Not know.
To not know. You don't know anything about God's plan to take his people out, to rapture them up, to take them out of. God says, don't be ignorant about the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
For all the Christians, like, I don't want to talk about the rapture. I was invited, my first time being invited to a church to go and speak in Diamond Bar. And I said, can I talk about the rapture? And he went, oh no, you're trying to get me fired. You can't talk about that. You're gonna have to find another message. This is back in like 2002. I was doing prison ministry. I said, wow, I didn't know that the church didn't allow you to talk about this. I've been reading about it and it sounds exciting, but you're not allowed to talk about it. Why not? Because Satan don't want you ready. He doesn't want you ready. He doesn't want you in relationship. He doesn't want you ready. So how do I keep them from being ready? First of all, I got to reduce the day so that they're not urgent about it. I have to make them believe that being earthly minded is more important than being heavenly minded.
Yeah.
This is what I've got to do. So Satan makes this topic, which the Bible talks about from Genesis to Revelation, and then at the end of it, you know what it says? Encourage one another with these words.
Yeah.
And yet, if I talk about it, well, I don't want you to talk about that, because people start arguing about mid-trib, post-trib, pre-trib, so you can't talk about that. I said, well, you think God doesn't know, rather it's mid-trib, post-trib? you think God has three different doctrines in there, or you think one of them's right and we're supposed to be preaching it?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I can sit down and show you that post-trib and mid-trib are a lie, and that pre-trib is the only thing.
Right.
And I showed you guys the other thing with just the thing of the seven brides, the seven. Everything from Genesis to Revelation is talking to us about a day when you don't have to pay rent no more. Rejoice. A day you won't have to wear a mask. Rejoice.
Yes.
A day you will never get sick again. You will never sneeze. Rejoice. Encourage one another with these words.
Yes.
Who made this illegal in the church? It certainly wasn't the person who wrote it. So I'm supposed to encourage you. I'm like, girl, I can't wait to see your house in heaven. I know I'm coming over because I heard you can cook. But I'm looking forward to something that's going to blow my mind. Who said that? And she said she was overwhelmed. I'm looking forward to something that blows my mind. I'm looking forward to being in a resurrected body that me and Pastor Ben can be talking and I can go, see you later, and go, and I could be somewhere else, because that's what Jesus did.
Yes.
And we're in the same type of body.
Yes.
So if you can't rejoice, see, the Bible says to heavenly minded, to have your heart and your mind set on things that are above and not things on the earth. We're supposed to be thinking about. Someone said to me, well, you can be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I said, show me the scripture. If you could show me the scripture, I will quote it with you.
Uh-huh.
But there's no scripture that says you can be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Matter of fact, I think if you're very heavenly minded, you'll be very much earthly good, because you can lead people out of darkness.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I want to wear my Christianity.
Yeah.
When I walk in, I want people to know the nice cross. You're born again. God bless you. I want you to know. You understand? I want to be heavenly minded. I want to be in a relationship.
Amen. 3 minutes.
Thank you. Let me finish reading this. Here it says, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Then it says, according to the Lord's own words. So who told them about the rapture? Jesus. He's the same guy that says, oh, by the way, one day, two will be in one place. One will be taken, paralambano, as a friend and companion with God in heaven, and the other one will be left. The same Jesus that's telling them about the rapture already told the apostles, and Jesus is talking about the rapture. Imagine Jesus want to come to S4C and like, I want to preach about the rapture. And I go, oh no, because we don't know if it's post-trip, pre-trip, or pan-trip. It's his doctrine. But you can't talk about it. But it's the blessed hope. Let's continue. It says, according to the Lord's own words, we tell you that we who are still alive and are left to the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down. That's the cough, right? You guys got to be Hebrew students. That's that cough coming down. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. So that's the Lamed. We're going up. We're going up above the letters. We went down below. We came down to take up. Same scripture, same letter. Everything's talking about the same subject. Okay? After that, we who are still alive will and are left will be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. When that day happens, guess what? Forever. Life begins.
Yes.
Therefore, encourage one another with these words. What kind of Christian? You mean the end is near, aren't you? No. The beginning's near.
Yes.
Your end is near. The beginning is near.
Yes.
Okay? Listen, you guys. I'm going to close out here. Do not believe everybody who says they're a Christian is a Christian. Do not make your relationship with God mundane. Do not make God and your relationship, your Christianity, like you 007, your secret undercover. No one knows but me and God. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. That's not, how can you bury a light? You're trying to put a light under a bed. God's let it shine, right? I don't want to wear a cross because people think. They'll know I'm a Christian and I'm undercover. It don't make no sense. So look, be in a strong relationship with Christ. Okay? I have a relationship, it's daily. I'm even disciplined to make sure that I incorporate it into my daily life. Never get too busy to spend a little time with Drea, because we're in relationship. Never get too busy to spend a little time with, because we're in relationship. If you're too busy, you might find that you're not in relationship. If you have no time, you might find that you're not in relationship. So cut out some time, because God wants to be in a relationship with you. Be ready. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.